Welcome back to another episode of the Startup Therapy Podcast. This is Ryan Rutan, joined as always by my friend, the founder and CEO of Startups.com, Will Schroeder. Will, I'm super excited about this episode because this is something that I end up talking to people a lot about, how it manifests in the founder's life, how it manifests in the entire team's lives. We are talking to founders. When you think about, let's just go back in time, think about our own teams, all the people that we've worked with, all the founders we work with, and the teams that they describe to us. How many of them say that they're working hard?
All of them.
That's it, right?
How everybody works hard. Yeah, somehow everybody works hard. My question always is, by what measure? But I think it's a gross misunderstanding by both the workers and founders. And I think for us as founders, we have to be wildly conscious of what it means when we say people are working hard, because our organizations are based on everyone working hard. What if no one is? What if everyone believes that they're getting ground to the stone, but in fact, they're not getting shit done? Massive problem. I've been dealing with this for 3 decades. I know you have too. I can't wait to talk about this.
Yeah. It's funny. It's one of those things. It's one of those things that I think just kind of goes by the wayside, right? Like it's an assumption that we just check the box. Like everybody's working hard. It's one of those things though, that because it's so foundational to actually getting anything done, that it is, I don't know, is there a more dangerous assumption in an organization than people are doing their jobs at all, let alone they're working hard, right? I think it's one of those traps that we fall into. And because it's easier just to believe that. It makes you happy to believe that your team's working hard and that everybody's pulling. But because startups are so like herky jerky at the beginning anyways, and progress is hard to measure and it's not clear, right? If we've got 6 horses hitched to a wagon, and only one of them is actually doing anything, pretty fucking obvious. Like we know, we're just not moving, right? All right, it's a problem. But in a startup organization, it can be really, really hard to actually see that. And so I think that it's easier just to assume everybody's probably doing their thing. It's just gonna take some time for it to all come together. There's some truth to that, but there's a whole lot of dark corners in that assumption that can absolutely kill a startup.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when I talk to founders and I say, indirectly, are you working hard? And their answer is always yes, right? I almost always hear founders say yes. When I follow that up with by what metric, all of a sudden it gets real fuzzy. It blows my mind that 3 seconds ago, you answered that question with absolute certainty. But as soon as someone asked you the most basic question, by what metric, you couldn't answer it. And so again, this radiates out to our whole organization. Now imagine this. Now imagine we've got an organization. Let's say we're a small startup. We've got a half dozen people. Everybody's mind, they're working really hard. Well, what does that mean if they're wrong? It means a bunch of things. Number one, it means that the output you should have been getting if people were, you know, optimized and doing what they're supposed to be doing would have been very different than what you are getting. Right there, we shouldn't even need a number two. That alone is a problem. The next thing is when people are working hard, they feel an entitlement to be rewarded for it. What about when there's an entitlement for a reward where you didn't do the
not
work
earning
to get the reward,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
I'll give you an example.
Super dangerous.
I've never met someone that's like, I get paid way too much money. No matter how much money someone gets paid, in their mind, they've earned it, right?
And then some, usually.
And then some, yeah. I've never heard somebody say I'm overpaid, right?
Right.
Like, no matter what. And I find that to be fascinating because, again, it's tied to work, output, et cetera. And so take somebody that's working like, you know, a $20 an hour job, which by the way is a $20 minimum wage in California now. If you work at McDonald's, you get $20 an hour, right? And you're saying, I work super hard. It's like, well, maybe, but you're going to get paid the same amount either way, right? Even if you work very little, you're still going to get $20 an hour. And I think people lose sense of that. Like, you were going to get paid either way. Like, oh, no, I wouldn't. I'd get fired. Nah, not really, right? Like, probably not. Anyway, I think as founders, as leadership in an organization, it is incumbent on us at the most basic level to understand what hard work is, when it's actually happening, and when to call bullshit.
Yeah, 100%, right? It's like this starts with just even entering, being willing to enter into the exploration that's not true. I so frequently see this at the founder level even, right? Where they're like, they're confusing being busy with working hard. Let's dig in there. So one of the places, and we just had a fairly lengthy conversation with 4 or 5 founders last week on this very topic. 3 of the 4 were in a position where they wanted to leave their full-time thing so they could go spend more time on their startup company, right? And look, of course, there are times where that makes a ton of sense. But as we started to dig in and say, like, well, why do you need to do that now? Because it destabilizes a lot of other things, right? These were all people who were making money, and the startup was kind of the side hustle, meaning it can basically continue forever, right? And they were like, well, I just need to spend more time on it, do more things, do more of this, do more of that. I need to work harder on my startup. And it was funny because we started to dig in, I started to call into question whether there was going to be real value in that extra time they were putting in. Is there truly a 40-hour or more per week job for you to do in that startup right now? And in most cases, it was like, probably not. The fourth founder started laughing. He's like, I did this 2 years ago. I quit my full-time job so that I could go and hustle at my startup, like be full-time. I was like, I very quickly realized that, yes, I could fill my days. There's an unlimited number of things your startup will demand of you. Turns out most of them don't do shit for the organization. And so all of a sudden, I was now super busy, but I wasn't super productive. I wasn't getting anything done that actually mattered. So was I working hard, right? Well, I was having a hard time doing all of it, but that doesn't mean that it's hard work, right? Different story.
Yeah, we're confusing effort with progress, right? We're confusing effort with progress. And, you know, the example I give, dude, if it takes me 40 hours to create a paper airplane and it doesn't fly, that's not progress, right? The amount of effort it took me is not considered working hard, right? Where I'm like, oh, I spent so much time on that. Yeah, were you any good at it? Right? it took me 40 hours to make that plane. What do you mean it didn't, you know, it didn't work? Do you know how much time I put into this? Yeah, it didn't work. It doesn't matter. The fact that you put 40 hours into it, you should be crying about. You should be ashamed of that.
Right. I worked so hard.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, for some folks, there's a pride in effort. You know, it's the ultimate participation award, right? And it's like, look, man, the effort doesn't mean squat unless the outcome is there.
You know, well, here's a great way to start rewarding that. Here's a great way to start rewarding hard work. Hand them an invisible medal. And when they're like, well, but there's nothing here. And then you tell them, but I worked really hard to make this for you. I know it's not actually here. Nothing actually happened, but I worked really hard to recognize your hard work, right? So I think we're even now. that should illustrate the case right there.
I got to tell you, man, the first year when I was learning to skate to so I could play ice hockey, I probably worked harder than anybody else on the team. But you know what I also did? Scored 0 goals.
Yep.
And so the fact that I was skating year round where most of the kids that were playing were not, okay?
Yeah.
Didn't make a lick of difference. All my quote hard work was useless, right? Now granted, it's part of what you have to do in order to kind of get to that level so you can start, so you can play.
But stick on that point, because I think a lot of times this is exactly what we're doing. When hard work is making up for a deficit to get us to a baseline of being able to work at all, that's not hard work. Right? That we're just playing catch up. Yeah, it might be difficult. It might be hard, but that's not what we're talking about here, right? So if we're not applying force that creates progress, and of course, yes, there's progress. You went from not being able to skate to being able to skate at a marginal level, to being able to skate at an average level, to being able to skate well enough to get on the team. That's the baseline, right? Getting on the team is the first step. All the work that led up to that isn't the hard work that matters. Was it difficult to do? Did you have to push yourself to do it? Yes. But that's not where the rewards come from, right? If you absolutely suck at coding and you spend 4 years of hard work to learn how to code to release a marginal landing page for your new business,
right?
You get a reward for that? No. If people start to convert on that landing page, there's the beginnings of the reward for that. But that's not what we're celebrating, right? The hard work to get to baseline is just the required prerequisites to do anything at all.
I feel like over time, as a society, we're also getting to a point where our reward loops are so tight, right? Like, if everything I do doesn't get a like and a comment, I feel like somehow, you know, I've been, you know, misled by the world, right? Yeah, exactly. And it's like, yeah, that's not the way the world works. I mean, maybe it does now, and I'm the one that's off.
It's the way the world doesn't work, right?
It's a great way to put it. It's the way the world doesn't work. In this particular context, I think this idea that if I've done something, if I've exerted, I'm to be rewarded for that is such a broken concept. That I think as leadership in an organization, when we start just rewarding time, when we just start rewarding, quote, effort, without the concept of reward comes with outcome, Now, don't get me wrong. Like, if you put in all those extra hours and get an outcome, by all means, it deserves a reward. It does. It just does. That's the whole point, right? But we've done episodes about this where I said, hey, I was 100-hour-a-week warrior for like 20 years. And so no question effort was expended. And to be fair, I had some success with it. So you could probably quantify it. But I was willing to make an extraordinary amount of sacrifice in order to get to those ends. If I looked back and I said, hey, I would have gotten to the same place with half the effort, it wouldn't have happened, right? It wouldn't. I had so many things like ice skating that I just had to make up in gross hours in order to be able to play the sport that I just had to do it. If I were to have said, I want to start on the hockey team, but I'm not willing to skate year round, why would I be on that hockey team? But I skated really hard when I did. No one cares. You suck.
Yeah, exactly. The investment does not equal the reward, right? Like, we have to make investments in time. I had a great morning today, actually. I woke up at 5 like usual, but then something unusual happened, which was that my 9-year-old daughter showed up in full soccer regalia, cleats on, ball in hand, and said, hey, can we go play? And I was like, hell yeah. So we went out to the goal in the backyard, and we started working on some stuff, right? I wanted to work on some fundamentals. She wants to volley the ball. Like, okay, well, we'll do that. We'll do some volleys. It's just you and I. We can do it. And she was getting frustrated, right? And as a father, but also as the coach and also as a player, like, I want to see her actually make progress, not just put in time. And so, like, she was getting closer, right? And so she started to make contact a little bit. And in the back of my head, I'm going, like, we need to celebrate this a little bit because it got better. But this isn't the full reward, right? And so, like, this is exactly that point. And I think, unfortunately, to your point, we've overdone it with this, like, use reward to motivate people and shorten those reward loops so significantly that they just don't mean anything anymore, right? And so I gave her the subtlest of nods. It was like, that was better, right? That's better. It's not what we're trying to accomplish, right? You didn't score. You didn't make the right contact, but we improved. But I basically said, like, we're getting closer to baseline. We're getting closer to the point where, like, then we can start to say, like, now good things are going to happen. But I think we have to be really careful about this, right? And again, like, you don't want to demotivate. I don't want to be out there and, like, still sucks, right? Like, you can't do that. But we can't also go, wow, that was amazing, right? You barely made contact and it went out of bounds, but, you know, we're getting closer. You know, it was just awesome. Let's call it quits. We didn't, right? We continued, and then we talked about what went right, and then how do we build on that so we get to the point where we're actually getting the thing that we really, really want. I think this is one of the things that I routinely see get lost as we're trying to motivate our teams. We start to celebrate the efforts, and we forget about the desired goals, right? We can't lose sight of that. Like, yes, it's great that we're making progress towards the goal, but if we don't talk about the fact that we're still a long way from the actual goal, the thing we want to achieve, we are doing ourselves and our teams a huge, huge disservice. And it's going to kill the actual progress.
You know, something that's really funny about everything we talk about here is that none of it is new. Everything you're dealing with right now has been done 1,000 times before you, which means the answer already exists. You may just not know it, but that's okay. That's kind of what we're here to do. We talk about this stuff on the show, but we actually solve these problems all day long at groups.startups.com. So if any of this sounds familiar, stop guessing about what to do. Let us just give you the answers to the test and be done with it.
And we also have to set what that baseline of hard work or that baseline of reward and outcome even is. That's a big part of this. Because left to their own devices, folks just don't know. If left to their own devices, let's say you didn't stipulate, I'm just using this as a benchmark, that you had a 40-hour work week. You just said, we have a job, work as many hours as you think you need to, right? People work like 12, right? Fuck, people probably only work 12 now, right? You know, like, in the grand scheme of things.
Right. But they worked hard. So it counts as 40.
But in their minds, you know, they worked hard. And I always say, hard compared to what?
To what? Oh, yes.
For what?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I worked hard.
Dig in.
And so you were talking about your daughter. So, you know, my 7-year-old son, Will, he comes with me every day to work out, right? And, you know, we've got a gym in my house. And while I'm working out, he always wants to lift the same dumbbells. And his thing right now is there's a 65-pound dumbbell that he likes to deadlift, you know, show his dad that he can lift more than his weight, right? Which is pretty cool, honestly. Like, it's kind of, you know, he does it, and he's straining every muscle in his body to lift it. Discredit, he does it. You know, dude pulls it up, little 7-year-old apparently, right? But then I take the weight, you know, and I'm lifting it, and I'm using those as my bench dumbbells, right? And it's not a lot of effort to me.
So who was working hard?
What's that? Yeah. Well, I'm thinking
were
to myself.
Either of you working hard?
Right. It's the same outcome lifting a 65-pound dumbbell, but his strain and my strain are different. Now, again, this is a physical thing, but the metaphor holds up entirely, because if you look at that and you say, take a task, and if someone tries to do that, and for them, lifting the 65-pound dumbbell takes all of their effort and they can barely do it, but someone else could just as soon do it like in 2 seconds, should that person be rewarded because they had to strain or penalized because they had to strain? So back to the paper airplane example, I worked 40 hours on this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it should have been 4 minutes.
Right.
Right. If you were taking your time, the fact that it took you 40 hours isn't a defense.
Exactly.
It's a problem.
You know what? Let's break it down like this. Like, assuming that you do need to get to a baseline, right? Let's recognize the effort, but let's celebrate outcomes, right? Recognize effort, but celebrate outcomes, right? Because even in this case, right? So like, were either of you working hard? Maybe not, right? In the sense that we're talking about today, where it makes progress. Because even like, so when we look at you and go, okay, well, you can do it with less effort. So if we're talking about like, if that was the outcome that we needed, if the work that needed to be done was lift 65-pound dumbbell,
yeah,
then you would be the better person to do that in this case. But was that what we needed? Was that progress? Or have we been lifting 65-pound dumbbells for the last 15 years as a company? In which case, that's just status quo. If we're trying to grow, we got to lift 70. We got to lift 75. All right. So I think that's, again, like, let's recognize effort, but let's reward, or let's celebrate outcomes. And let's make sure that we're baselining against something important, right? Because it isn't even just a relative scale. One person relative to another might describe whether, you know, the amount of effort that's required, but the amount of effort that's required has nothing to do in most cases with the actual outcome, right? Some outcomes that we need, turns out, don't even need that much effort. Some require incredible amounts.
If you go off people self-reporting, I believe in my experience, you're going to lose every time, right? You talk to anybody in the organization and you say, hey, you know, are you working hard? In their minds, no matter what they're doing by any metric, they're going to say yes. So when you respond to that, or more specifically, let's say that you say, hey, is this person on your team working hard? Oh my God, yes, they're absolutely working hard. Compared to what?
Well, but if part of that goes back to the culture we create, the way we lead, and what we've told ourselves, because if we've told ourselves as the founder, because remember, at some point, this started with just us, right? There was nobody else. At least when we had the idea, maybe we hired somebody 8 minutes later. Cool, you've had a team since the beginning. Most people don't do that. There's going to be some period where you were the founder. If you start to celebrate constantly and celebrate just the effort, right? Start to celebrate the effort. Then guess what? When you start hiring people, you're going to start to celebrate their effort. If it turns out there's the same celebration around effort and outcome, why would I worry about the outcome? I get celebrated for the effort, right? So a lot of this, unfortunately, is actually coached into people, right? We teach them that this is what we're after. I want to see you putting in effort, right? Go back to your 100-hour week hero days, right?
Yep.
Clearly that would have permeated into more of the organization, where people thought, like, in order to show up, in order to be celebrated, in order to be lauded as another hero on this team, I got to be putting in 100 hours too, right? This is the baseline. This is what we do, right? Regardless of what the outcomes were, you're teaching your team, this is what we expect from you, and this is what you'll be recognized for.
So let's build on that. So we've got, let's say, 3 layers of management in a company. Just using this as an example, right? You've got the founder C-level, you've got the mid-management level, and you've got the front-end line worker level. Again, I'm using very basic terms. So you see the separation. If at the executive level, if there isn't an expectation that work is going to be like, you know, effort plus outcome, of course, right, is going to be an A- or better, then there's no version at the mid-tier where that levels, that grade is going to go up. And there's no version at the next tier that grade is going to go up. So whatever we accept at the top level sets the benchmark for the best it's going to be. And then we have to start degrading that as you move. Absolutely, right? And so if my expectation, and by way of that, my understanding at the C level is that everybody should be at least a B or better, I'm just making up a grade because people understand letter grades, then I have to assume, it'd be ridiculous for me not to, that the frontline folks are C minus or better, because I know there's going to be a meaningful degradation, right? In expectations, in perception, right? So from my standpoint, again, if I'm like, hey, is this person working hard? And I'm going through two layers of people to get that answer, I have to remember the filter, right? Because I'm taking my version of what is working hard. Then I'm dividing it by their version, or subtracting in this case. Then I'm subtracting by the next version, right? So my quality level kind of sucks, right? Now, there's two ways to fix that. One, I increase my letter grade, so at least when it dilutes, it starts from a higher baseline. I start from an A if I want to get to a C, right? Or two, I find out how that next layer of folks is actually grading the talent.
Yep.
By what measure?
By what measure?
Right? When exactly. They say, oh, yeah, you know, team's working hard. You sure? By what measure? Right? And we start to look at that. And I think that part of it, here's one thing I've learned. You and I have gone through this many times. When you ask people to show their work, the people that are working can't wait to show you. People that aren't, it's not hard to figure out.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
When I'm working hard, I want people to know it. Right? More specifically, when I'm performing, I want people to know it. Right? I always joke that there's never been a salesperson that forgot to tell you that they were top of the board this month. Right? Never right. existed in the history of history.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Justifiably so. Right?
Yep.
But boy, are salespeople quiet when they're at the bottom of the board.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Right? Yeah. No chest pounding.
True of anybody.
You're right. It's true of anybody. And so, you know, we have to look at that and go, when things start to get quiet over somewhere, right? Like, let's take a look at what's going on over there.
It's funny, man. When I ask people to show me their work, I can almost guess what I'm going to see based on the initial answer of how long it's going to take them to get it back to me, right? If I'm like, hey, let's give me a rundown on this project that you're working on. Give me, you know, the work journal, whatever it is. If they're like, if there's like some arbitrary sounding delay between like, yeah, I can get that to you next week. So what you're saying is you have to go and really think hard about this and fabricate what you're about to send me. Versus here's all the things I'm excited to share with you, right? Because to your point, people who are killing it know they're killing it and know exactly how to describe how they're killing it.
You bet. And again, this isn't a case for overworking anybody. I just want to be clear about that. Like, oh my God, these guys are these evil overlords. Oh God, no, right? What we're saying is we're looking for underperformance. We're looking for when folks think that they're working super hard,
yeah,
but they're not, which is the ultimate kind of misunderstanding. Because if I go into an organization every day and I'm like, man, I'm killing myself at this company.
Yeah.
But I'm getting nothing done.
We both lose. Everyone loses. Yeah, everybody's right. Losing at that point, right?
Yeah, because exactly.
We don't want you to be working hard and getting nothing done. At that point, you right. might as well just not be working.
Right.
Right. So
right.
you don't need to feel overwhelmed. I'm still going to get the same result, right? If you're on my team and you're doing a lot, but nothing's happening, right? If you're just kicking up a bunch of dust, but once the dust settles, nothing changed, might as well not be working, right? And so I think this is the point. And look, we're talking about a spectrum here, right? It's not like, oh, there's people who just work hard and nothing ever happens. But I think by and large, when you see people, to your point, when they think they're working hard, they may even be doing things that are hard, like working extra hours or whatever it is, right? Pushing themselves in a lot of ways. But if it isn't generating any kind of a meaningful outcome, it's not worth doing. Right? Effort doesn't equal output. There's no point in the effort.
You know, I'll give you an example where this is like contrasted a lot for me. So my stepfather is a landscaper, career landscaper. He's in his 70s now, still a landscaper, right? And years ago, you probably remember this, I decided I was going to redo all of my landscaping at the house myself. You know, I always want to take on these epic projects.
I still have a pulled muscle somewhere in my back from carrying how many bags of mulch to be spread that day? A lot of mulch.
Destroyed everything. My house went from like not great landscaping to looking like the surface of Mars. I had executed everything. I called my stepdad up and I'm like, hey, Dad, I don't know how you do this every day, right? Like I knew your job was hard, right? Physically hard. But like I've been doing it now for 8 weeks straight, you know, while doing my regular job. And I can barely move. I also don't understand how you've ever gained a pound in your life.
Right. Yeah, how is this
like
possible?
5,000 calories a day.
Yep.
Anyway, I'll never forget his response. His response was just perfect. He's like, and I was like, Dad, how do you keep doing this? Like physically, how do you keep doing this? He's like, it's easy. I wake up and I'm broke.
Right. I have to go do this. But there's something else to that, right? And I think you and I have talked about this before too. It's possible to do hard work without working hard.
That's where I was headed. And so, you know, my dad would come to me and you know, from time to time, he'd be like, look, you know, you've done really well for yourself and, you know, whatever, but, you know, I've worked just as hard as you. I was like, whoa, stop right there, right? I was like, you've done hard work, right? You have not worked hard. And there's a massive difference, right? Like my dad, his stepdad, he's like, he'll work as few hours as possible Like every landscaper on the planet.
There's a lot of shovel leaning time, right? There's a lot of things. It's hard work, but are you working hard or are you hardly working?
Oh, right, right. But he does not want to. There's never been a version where he's like, you know, the job was done, but I just felt it could be done better. So I just stayed extra long just to get it done, right? Yeah, never, ever in the history of history, right? And I was like, you know, what did you sacrifice? What you know, where did you put an extraordinary effort that the average person wouldn't have done in getting paid the same thing? Where have you applied risk or anything else like that? And obviously he hasn't, right? So when he looks at my effort, he's like, well, you know, my back hurts and I'm straining and all of these things. I'm like, I get it.
You did some hard work.
Yeah, my father was a carpenter. Right? Same thing, right? You eat all these strains, whatever. But my father never worked an extra 30 seconds that he didn't have to, right? I mean, like, and that's the nature of that labor. Dude, if I was doing that all day long, and I guess I sort of do because I am a carpenter, like, I do it because I love it, but there is a physical limit, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
okay, I'm
just done. Yep.
But I think when people look at this concept of I've done hard work, and therefore it's the same as working hard, we generally don't get rewarded for hard work.
Look at hard jobs. Most of them aren't compensated very well. And there's a reason, because hard work doesn't imply amazing outcomes. Right? It just means something that was hard got done. Right? Very different.
Correct. Right. That's a bit different. And I think for the reward structure, that's the part that we're missing. And by the way, I want to make sure I'm not disrespecting anybody that does hard work. I'm the opposite. Having done it myself and being the process of building my own house, right? Like, I'm well aware of hard work, right? What I'm saying is that alone doesn't buy you anything. When my son tries to pick up a dumbbell and it's very hard, it's hard work, that doesn't mean anything. It just means it's hard.
He still moved the same 65 pounds that you and I can do with one arm, right?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Okay, both my arms, whatever.
The other day, I'm on TikTok or something like that, and there's this influencer that's just on this massive rant about how hard he works and how he's not getting rewarded for it. And the gist of it was something like this. The gist of it was like, you know, screw you old people. You had it so easy. I'm working over 30 hours a week and I can't see and I can't buy a house.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
This wasn't satire. This wasn't irony.
I mean, what made it so juicy was that it wasn't satire. And he's like, I'm working over 30 hours a week. You guys were able to buy a house. You're able to afford like a nice car, whatever. He's like, uh-huh. I'm settled in college debt. You know, I've got a degree and I'm 30 something years old and you know, I'm still serving coffee, right?
Yeah. They also stormed the beaches of Normandy, yeah. Right? There were a few other fucking
things,
details,
right?
In there that might be accounted for.
Right. They didn't have college nor was it paid for. But anyway,
yeah.
But in his mind, and I always try to be empathetic about this, right? Like, I'm just not just like pointing fingers. I try to put myself in his position and I try to think in terms of by what measure does he believe that he deserves that or the reward exists, right? And the truth is, he just doesn't have a comparison, right? In his mind, relative to what's been asked of him, 30 hours is a lot. And truth be told, if you didn't want to do much work and you were given 30 hours of it, it would feel like a lot. Where he's misled is he actually doesn't understand the effort it takes and the outcome more specifically in order to get to that house, in order to get your college debt paid off. Like, those people who accomplished at that level weren't phoning it in. That's why they were able to do it, right? They were in a dramatically different work reward structure.
100%.
And so he just doesn't understand it, right? And when I say not his fault, he's an adult. I mean, theoretically you could, but I understand where that comes from.
Well, but look, without that comparison, without that baseline, without a benchmark, right? It doesn't matter how smart you are. You're not going to figure it out. You need that relative measure to push off from. And I think that's kind of what we're getting at here, right? Which is that hard work or working hard, not hard work. Hard work just implies like it's hard to do, right? I have to pick up something heavy. I have to work longer hours than I'd want to or that I'm physically capable of. That's hard work. Working hard implies that we're putting in extra effort, right? That we're going somehow above and beyond the requirements, but in order to achieve and with some reasonable expectation that we actually achieve that outcome, right? Because again, if we don't tie this to something happening, what are we doing? Right? You're just applying effort. Right? And this isn't exactly a work smart versus work hard thing, but like I think that before we can say I'm working hard, again, to your point, relative to what, to what end? And are you working hard? Are you just doing the work, right? Right. There's a certain amount of work that's required for the job, right? Again, baseline, right? Like, you know, you working really hard to skate, to learn to skate, to get on the team, right? That wasn't an accomplishment in itself, right? To get on the team, but you don't hang up your skates at that point, right? You got to go suit up and actually play a game, try to score a goal or save some or whatever it is. That's the outcome that we're after.
I think you and I are all for rewarding people for, you know, making extraordinary contributions if they make extraordinary contributions.
Yes, there it is. Extraordinary. Not just extra of the ordinary, yeah. Right? There's a difference between those two things.
I think for us, the danger as founders is to not set that baseline and expectation. I mean, that is literally our job to set those expectations. What is the difference between the baseline effort and the extraordinary effort? What is the reward between just putting time in and having an extraordinary outcome, even if time isn't a factor? And I think if we don't set those baselines, starting with ourselves, looking inward at ourselves and kind of how we perform, and then apply that to the rest of the organization, we can't possibly build a high-performing organization if we don't understand the difference between hard work and working hard and what reward everyone should get for the difference in the two.
Overthinking your startup because you're going it alone? You don't have to, and honestly, you shouldn't, because instead, you can learn directly from peers who've been in your shoes. Connect with bootstrapped founders and the advisors helping them win in the Startups.com community. Check out the Startups.com community at www.startups.com to see if it's for you. Could be just the thing you need. I hope to see you inside.